Are you scared?
Is your website pretty?
Are you frightened?
Does it work right?
Are you afraid?
Can people find it?
Never been afraid in your life?
Never.
Man, you been.
If you answered no, or kinda, to any of these questions, you came to the right podcast, because we're going to help you mind your business. Here's your host, the lexical cognizant and SEO director guy of Mind Development and Design, Mark Boyd.
Welcome to the Mind Your Business podcast, presented by the Minds at Mind Development and Design. Thank you for listening to us. As always, however you're listening to us, we just appreciate you listening. We hope the podcast is helpful to you in getting the best out of your website, your ranking in the search engines, your PPC, and your social media. Thank you for listening on iTunes and Stitcher. We're ready for Google Play whenever Google Play is ready for us. Thank you for following us on Pinterest. We're here every week for you. We love entertaining your questions. We love entertaining you with information, but we love entertaining your questions too. So don't be shy. Send them to us through Facebook. Send them to us directly through our website, welcometomind.com. We're ready for you. That's why we're here. Now, we've kind of stepped back from the typical technical stuff, and we're getting down to the heart of your business. Last week, we were talking about inspiration. We talked about your inspiration in your business and how you can use that to, in turn, inspire others. Isn't that what makes business consistently move forward in better ways? Yeah, we got to get better at the nuts and bolts of it, but we can't lose sight of the heart of it. And talking about inspiration last week and then talking about this week, that's what we're talking about. It's kind of scary at times when you talk about inspiration, when you talk about heart, when you talk about risk, when you talk about fear, which is the big one this week. Kind of scary at times to do that, because in order to do that, you have to expose your own personal weirdness for all to see. Hey, we're all weird in one way or another. You're no different from me. You've got your own weirdness. You may not want everybody to see it, but at some point, it just can't help but be on display. I joke constantly about how when I turned 40 years old, I just didn't care anymore. I mean, not that I don't care about doing my best. I absolutely do. But it's like, I am who I am, for better or for worse. I need to figure out a way to use how I am to be good for other people. The key is, don't constantly look at yourself as being weird. Don't constantly beat yourself up for being quote unquote different. We're all different. Don't over magnify your own uniqueness to the point where you're too self-conscious and you therefore fall back in line out of fear and resolve yourself to being nothing but the tried and true, what we call on this podcast, the tired and blue. I'm a big fan of Snoopy, big fan of the Peanuts comic strip. I loved the Peanuts movie that came out at the end of last year. Big fan of Snoopy, and one of the most fascinating things about the Peanuts cartoon, indeed one of the reasons that I believe it's been so enduring, is that it was a window into the mind and the heart of its creator, Charles Schulz. One of my favorite quotes attributed to Snoopy, but of course it was Charles Schulz really saying it, is, "Be yourself. No one can say you're doing it wrong." I just love that. There's such deep truth in that. Think about it for a moment. It takes an incredible strength to stand on your own like that. And that's one of the most common fears in both ownership and management in today's business world. I would argue especially management, because the question is always whether or not the owners hired you to just do what they say, or if they hired you to use your own unique expertise and thought process to move the business forward. A lot of companies will say that they're doing that, but once you get in, they basically just want you here, do what we say. And that results in a lot of dissatisfaction in work and results in a lot of apathy. This week's podcast is here to challenge you and your thought processes, especially if you're not satisfied with where your business is or where you are in your management process. Now, as mentioned in previous podcasts repeatedly, I mean, if you've listened, you know it. I draw a lot of analogies from music and from pro football, and today is no exception. There's no real mystery as to why Jerry Jones has not even so much as sniffed a Super Bowl since Jimmy Johnson resigned as the Dallas Cowboys head coach back in the mid-90s. Now, I don't really count the Barry Switzer Super Bowl because all the players were in place from Jimmy Johnson's, for lack of a better word, Jimmy Johnson's regime. And they basically won a Super Bowl, I think it was in 1995, in spite of Jerry Jones and Barry Switzer, because the players were that good. I'm talking about after those incredible players, you know, Troy Aikman, Michael Irvin, and Emmitt Smith, and some of the other incredible players. Those were the big three, but they had an amazing team. I'm talking about after they've moved on and retired. I mean, think about, you know, that was 1995, so 2005, 2015. It's been 20 years. Jerry Jones, back in those days, told Jimmy Johnson, and this is documented, "You handle football and I'll handle business." Now, that's the way it should be. Jerry Jones is the owner. I'm hiring you, Jimmy Johnson, to coach this football team. You tell me what you need, and I am trusting you to be the brains behind the success of this football team on the field. Jimmy Johnson told Jerry Jones what players he wanted, and Jerry handled the business end of it. Now, I know that's an oversimplification of it, but that's the gist of what their relationship was and ultimately why they were successful. And no doubt, Jimmy Johnson had to put his foot down to make the decisions that he made and, more importantly, stick his neck out and be accountable for those decisions. That's the big one, because it doesn't matter how you think it should be, blah, 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 blah. Are you willing to be accountable for those decisions that you claim to believe in? That's the first question here. Are you afraid of accountability in your business? The proverbial buck stops here. And I don't care if you're a business owner or a manager. It's really hard to do this, whether you're in management or ownership or both. The example we used here last week of Mirabeau Winery, I refer to this guy constantly. I've never met him in my life, but so inspiring. This man left a certain comfort level because ultimately it wasn't satisfying a need he had, and he didn't truly see it ever satisfying his needs or his goals for himself or his family. His family, who is counting on him. You have people counting on you. He took a huge risk by entering an extremely competitive field, and he succeeded. It can be done. But it's not easy. If you want to break out of your comfort zone, you have to, one, analyze your current position and ask yourself the cliche but totally valid question of, where do you see yourself in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years? What is your vision? If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. I mean, it's true. We've heard it over and over again, but it really is true. Number two, recognize your weaknesses and accept them. We all have weaknesses. Nothing wrong with that, folks. I don't care what any supervisor's telling you. I mean, I remember various jobs I've had in my past where I had managers who expected not just me, but everybody on the team to be great at everything. Nobody can be great at everything. Truly, that's what I love most about being a part of Mind. That may sound self-serving, but I don't care. I consider myself to be among the most fortunate SOBs on the planet because for the first time in my career, and I'm pushing 50 years old, friends. I feel like a spring chicken, but I'm not. I'm a part of a real team with real complementary strengths. You should be too. You know why? Because you deserve it. Now that comes from another pro football analogy. One of my favorites. I got a lot of favorites, but this is definitely one of them. When New Orleans Saints head coach Sean Payton was coaching up his kicker, right before this kicker made the kick that sent the Saints to the Super Bowl back in 2009, which they ultimately won. You can see it on YouTube for yourself. It's all up there. The Saints kicker, Garrett Hartley, I think it was the kicker. He had previously missed a kick from a similar or perhaps even a shorter distance, and Coach Payton told him, just go out and make that kick, son. You know why? Because you deserve to be here. I get goosebumps saying that right now. I'm serious. You can't see him, but I'm looking at him right now. How many times have we been told anything like that by our employers in our careers? Think about your own career. How many times have you been told that, especially when we've made a mistake? How many times have you, as a business owner, taken it upon yourself to tell a struggling employee something to that effect? Because that's what this coach told his kicker. His kicker had blown a kick that could have won the game previously. It didn't have to come down to this last-minute thing. How often have you, as a business owner or a manager, taken it upon yourself to tell that struggling employee something to that effect? Hell, you hired them. Don't you believe in them? If you're the owner of a company, it's your job to uplift those who are the heartbeat of your company and who keep it moving forward. If you're a manager, it's your job to do the same. For yourself, for the person who hired you, and for the person that's depending on you, your employee. Uplift and coach your employees. Don't treat them as disposable, replaceable cogs in your machine. Why should they be loyal to you if you treat them like that? I'm going to get off my soapbox here, but I dare say that any of you listening right now, I dare say you've probably experienced that at some point in your career. And it gets stuck in your craw sometimes. And finally, number three, make the hard decisions that will satisfy your being, your soul, and surround yourself with the types of people with whom you can legitimately help people in your business and therefore succeed in the long term. You do this, and you will naturally create an environment where you can truly thrive and be the best you can be. Everybody on your team can be the best you can be because you're all inspiring each other to always be better. We all want to make a living, friends, but not everyone is willing to take the calculated risks necessary for long-term success. Dealing with people, dealing with the human psyche, is always a risk. How you handle risk depends on how you're willing to deal with fear, impacts, how you can overcome fear. Joe Gibbs, the Hall of Fame coach of the Washington Redskins, and any of you here who are Cowboys fans or just don't like the Redskins, I don't apologize for this at all because this guy, he led the Skins, and I can't call myself a Skins fan, but I am a Joe Gibbs fan. He led the Skins to 4 Super Bowl appearances in 10 years from 1981 to 1991, and he won 3 of those Super Bowls with 3 different quarterbacks. He took a lot of risks to achieve that success. There are too many to go into all of them here. But we're talking about overcoming fear here, and in the America's Game documentary, and I'm a big fan of that documentary series from the NFL Network. I'm constantly inspired by those documentaries. In the documentary on the 1991 Redskins, Joe Gibbs talked about the fact that every NFL head coach has what he calls a dreaded fear. And Gibbs said that his dreaded fear was basically the November 12, 1990 game between the Redskins and the Philadelphia Eagles, which went down in football history as the body bag game. You can even go on Wikipedia. Just go to Google and type in body bag game wiki, and you'll see it. You'll see all the details from it. The Eagles won the game, which was played in Veterans Stadium in Philadelphia. The Eagles won the game 28-14, and in the process, 9 Washington Redskins players left the game with injuries. The name of the game came from an Eagles player yelling out, "Hey, do you guys need any more body bags?" 9 players left the game with injuries. Now, at the end of the day, Washington returned to the Eagles' home turf in the playoffs and beat them 20-6 in the wild card game that year. And the following year, they went to the Super Bowl, and Washington won the Super Bowl, 1991. This is about risk. This is about fear. This is about adversity. How do you overcome it when it feels like you've reached rock bottom? No matter what business arena you're in, you face adversity, and no doubt you've felt like, man, can it get any worse? We all experience that. How well you endure adversity depends on the team you have either assembled or you have chosen to be a part of. Adversity in your business will challenge you. Adversity will force you to ask yourself how much you believe in what you claim to believe in. Adversity causes many business owners to lose focus for the sake of short-term recovery, which usually leads to long-term demise. Sadly, there are some business owners who have managed to systematize even that philosophy. I'm not even going to go there. Risk is the epitome of stepping outside of your comfort zone, of overcoming fear, of facing your fears head on and overcoming them. I'll give you one last example of this, and that's my beloved rock band, Rush. If you're a Rush fan and you haven't seen the Rush documentary Beyond the Lighted Stage, you absolutely must. And truly, even if you're not a Rush fan, you may not watch this and say, oh, I just love Rush now, but you got to respect them. These guys are incredible, and if you're not inspired by this story, I just don't know what to say. Put yourself in their shoes for a moment. They were teenagers, basically. We're going back to 1972, 1973. They were teenagers, close to 20 years old, give or take a year, and they recorded an independent album. And this is, by the time they recorded the album, it was 1973, 1974. The first album was released in 1974 on the major label. And there was no internet there. So, I mean, this was very, very grassroots. They had caught the ear of an A&R guy at Mercury Records because a song of theirs called Working Man had really caught on with the factory workers, the blue collar workers in Cleveland, Ohio. One of the rock stations there was playing it. And long story short, they were regarded as kind of a Canadian Led Zeppelin or Bad Company because of the sound of their first album, and they were signed to a major label deal with Mercury Records. Now, the record label envisioned them as being a Bad Company sort of band, and were confused by their second album, Fly By Night, which was the first to feature the legendary Neil Peart on drums and to showcase their desire to move in a more progressive and perceptually non-commercial direction. The label was even more confused by their third album, Caress of Steel, which was the first of their albums to feature a song that took up the entire side of an album. I mean, this, if the name of your band wasn't Yes, this was unheard of, and this song was called The Fountain of Lamneth. Even more discouraging than this was the fact that on the ensuing tour, on the Caress of Steel tour, they were playing to smaller and smaller and smaller crowds, to the point where Rush themselves actually started calling it the Down the Tubes tour, because they believed they would lose their recording contract over it, and they almost did. But they got one last shot. Now, there were some contingencies there. Their record label insisted that they write songs that would be strong singles, etc., and be more commercially sellable. Well, Rush decided as a band that they were going to be themselves. Because, of course, be yourself. Nobody can tell you got it wrong. They decided they were going to be themselves for better or worse and were willing to go back to working in their respective father's auto parts store, plumbing business, etc., rather than making the choice to be something they were not just for the sake of making money and therefore being unhappy. The result was the album 2112. The band expected the label to hate it, which they did, but they released it anyway. The ultimate result was an album that sold more than 1 million copies, It wasn't an immediate success, mind you, but it consistently grew. And it proved that Rush was on to something, and it proved that their idea, even though their record label didn't understand it, their idea was connecting with people. That album ensured creative freedom for three guys that would go on to forge their own path, like them or not, and build a huge loyal audience, and build huge success for themselves, and most importantly, they did it on their own terms. They basically said, this is us. This is who we are, for better or for worse. You want to break through your comfort zone in your business and forge your own identity? Ask yourself, could I do that? Would I be willing to take that kind of risk for my business? Because I believe that much in what I'm doing. The very theme of the 2112 album is individual thought versus the status quo. Individual thought versus the tried and true, the tired and blue. That's the challenge for all of us at the end of the day. And that's the key to ultimately not just succeeding in your business, but really differentiating yourself from your competition. Thank you again for listening to the Mind Your Business podcast, presented by the Minds at Mind Development and Design. Thanks for listening on iTunes, Stitcher, soon on Google Play, for following us on Pinterest. Thank you for sending your questions to us through Facebook, through our website, welcometomind.com, and by email at info@minddnd.com. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you right here next week.
From the Minds at Mind Development and Design, thank you for joining us today. Until next week, make sure you mind your business.
Not so funny now, is it?